Well, I don't know if you guys can feel it, but I feel excited about this morning. We're continuing our series called Foundations, where we're kind of inspecting the foundations of Christian faith. Some doodads I might pop down. For many of us, we're going to be laying the foundations of our Christian faith now. We're going to have morning tea together. First time in more than 12 months, we've been able to hang out afterwards and enjoy food together. So that's really exciting. And maybe it's the warmness of the church right now because all the heaters are on. It's making me feel much, much better than I was when I was outside. How about I pray for us while we dig into these words together? Father God, thank you for the encouragement that remind us of our state before we knew you and show us just how wonderful your mercy and your grace is. Father, I pray that as we talk about what our faith is like today, that you would give us clarity to know what it is and to know how the Christian life looks as a life of faith. Father, please help us to be discerning this morning. Please transform us by your word. Please give us minds that are ready to hear and hearts that are quick to obey. Amen. Well, I have, as a child, a very long career of quitting things. I was a bit of a quitter as a kid. I took up drums in year three. So don't ask me to drum in church. I did it for 1 year. And my drum teacher, he kept wanting me to do these really basic beats, right, over and over and over. For like the entirety of the year, he just wanted me to nail these really basic beats. But I just wanted to get onto like the sweet drum solos. I remember I went to a concert. My older brother was playing drums before me, and he kind of got me into it. We went to a concert that he was like, yeah, this is a drummer playing. And the drummer was doing like all these cool things where he was like throwing the drumstick up in the air and pulling another one out, and it was like a different drumstick. And he was doing all these amazing things. He'd like stand up and play from the other side. And it was awesome. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. And then there I was in my lessons just doing these really basic beats over and over and over. And so I got a bit bored of it. And I was like, no, I don't know if I want to practice these things. And after about a year, my mum's like, yeah, we're not paying for drum lessons anymore, Tim, because you don't want to do it. I played tennis for a few years as well, and that was a bit of fun. I had a bit of fun. I got kind of to the lowest level you needed to be to go into comp, so like versing other guys. But when it was practice time, my coach would set up three tennis balls with a fourth on top as like a little target. And just like for a whole lesson, we'd be serving and trying to hit that little target. And it was pretty cool. If we hit it, he gave us $2. And he always had the same joke. He'd give us $2 and be like, guess I'm having baked beans for dinner tonight. Because, you know, we took all the money out of his pocket. We very rarely hit the target. But lessons on end, serving, serving, serving. He was trying to get us to get the basics down pat. But I just found it stupid. I just didn't want to stand there for an hour serving tennis balls. And there's a few other things that I picked up, and I'd eventually drop them because I was bored, because I didn't want to nail the basics and things like that. And that was kind of the theme. I wanted to do the advanced expert stuff. I wanted to kind of jump my progression trail and didn't want to learn the basics. Now, I've come to change my view on the basics. I think they're important, and I think experience is a good thing so that as you progress, you have a good foundation to build off, not unlike this series that we're doing at the moment. But as a kid, I just wanted to be at the end goal. I didn't want to make the effort. I didn't want to get there. And, you know, while not everyone is like me and wants to shortcut that kind of path of progression, we do all want to make progress, don't we? We do all want to make progress. So you start in kindergarten and you hope to kind of progress all the way up and graduate year 12, or, you know, go to uni and you're like, well, I want to finish my degree and graduate and get my degree, and maybe I want to do a master's or a PhD or whatever, if you like torturing yourself in that way. At work, you don't want to have an entry-level job for the entirety of your life, do you? You want to kind of progress. You want to keep moving up until maybe a comfortable level, but you don't want to stay at the beginning, do you? We like making progress. We do like moving on from the basics, yes, after we've mastered them. You know, beginner, intermediate, advanced, expert. We like to make that progression. And so the question is, what does that progression look like in the Christian life? What does it look like? Well, there's a bunch of ways we can make progress as Christians. We can grow in knowledge of God, study God's word. We learn new things about God. We learn new things about the way he works. And so we grow in our knowledge. And as we grow in our knowledge, we'll grow in our godliness. And we'll be more godly and God-honoring and God-centered in our life. We'll grow in our maturity, in our love. We'll grow in our service. There's a bunch of different ways we can grow in our Christian life. And we should expect to grow in our Christian life. But there's one crucial area of Christian life where if we get the idea of progress wrong, we'll actually depart from Christianity altogether. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about faith and the path of progress of faith in the Christian life. Because if we get our understanding of progress in faith wrong, we could find that we end up leaving salvation altogether. It's really important for people who are already following Jesus to understand this, because you need to know where you're going. It's crucially important to understand this if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, because you need to know what the path that could be ahead of you is. And so today we're going to start by looking at what was life like before we came to Jesus. What was life like then? Then we're going to look at what was life like when we came to Jesus. How did we come to know Jesus? And then what is our path of progress into the future? So we'll start before Jesus. What changed into the future? Make sense? Let's get into it. What was our life before Jesus? Put simply, we were dead. We were spiritually dead. Now, I'm not making a metaphor there. I'm not saying it was like we were dead. I'm not saying it's as if we were dead. I'm saying the reality is we were dead. Not physically dead. Spiritually dead. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Keep your Bible open in front of you or have your phone out in front of you. We're going to keep referring to this and we might even flick around in a little bit. So Ephesians 2, verse 1, Paul writes to the Ephesians, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Paul doesn't say it was as if you were dead. Paul doesn't say it was like you were dead. You were like a dead person. No, he says you were dead. You were spiritually dead. And so the question is, what does it mean to be spiritually dead? It's obviously different from physical death, since none of us in this room are just a corpse sitting there. So what is spiritual death? Well, it means not being spiritually alive, right? We all knew that. But it's helpful to know, what does it mean to be spiritually alive? Because then we'll know what spiritual death is. So what is spiritual life? Well, all life comes from God, right? God is the creator of life. He is life himself. All life comes from him, spiritual and physical. And our life comes from our relation with God, our connectedness with God. As connected as we are with God is how alive we are. If we're separate from God, away from the originator of life, we're dead. If we're connected with him, we're alive. And so we'd call this a relationship. And being in a relationship with God, we can see God's glory. And we can hear his spirit speak to us in his word. And we can marvel at the wonder of Christ. And we can love God if we're spiritually alive. So if we're spiritually dead, it's the opposite. We're separate from God. Relationship is broken. And that the evidence of that is pretty simple. And we actually can see it all around us. People don't honor God. People can't hear the spirit speak to them. They're deaf to the spirit. They're blind to his glory. They don't see the wonder of Christ dying on the cross. They have no love of God in them. That's spiritual death. And one day, that spiritual death will be met by physical death. Will be under the judgment of God. Did you see that there in these verses? So come with me again to chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll read the first three verses. As you're looking at these verses, see if you can get a sense of whether there's anything we can do to help ourselves. "As for you, you were dead in your sin, in which you lived when you were following the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." We were by nature deserving of wrath. Because Paul doesn't say, we chose to follow these things. He just said, we follow them. Like, almost like we're hypnotized by them. We're stuck in them. We can't get away. Our spiritual death means that we're stuck in this life that we can't get out of. Or rather, we're stuck in this death that we can't get out of. There's nothing we can do. We have no hope. We're almost like slaves to these things, to the world and to the ruler of the kingdom of the air and to our fleshly desires, the three things that it talks about in there. And because we're dead and because we follow these things and we can't escape, we were by nature objects of wrath. In our very nature, we are dead. And so by our very nature, we were deserving of God's judgment. We were doomed, utterly helpless, no hope in the world whatsoever. God's wrath was coming for us. We neglected in Him. There's an old speeding app from New Zealand. And the setup is there's a T intersection. There's a car waiting at the T intersection to pull out. And the car pulls out. But as he does, he sees his car speeding down the road. And it's clear there's going to be a collision. Car's pulling out, car's speeding down, and time freezes. Everything stops, except for the two drivers. They're shocked, and they look around, and they step out of the car, talk to one another before this collision happens. And the guy who's pulling out is like, "Oh, I'm sorry, mate. I thought I could make it. I didn't see you coming. Can you stop?" And the other guy goes, "Oh, look, I'm sorry. I can't stop. I'm going too fast. There's nothing I can do. I was speeding. I'm sorry." Another guy's like, "Please, please try. Please stop. Look, I have my boy in the car, and his 10-year-old son's in the car." And he's like, I can't do anything about it. I'm going too fast." While they're having this conversation, the cars they're lurching forward as if time's about to resume at any moment. So they, on the verge of tears, walk back to their car and they buckle up and kind of brace themselves, and time resumes and crash. In that moment when they're talking to each other, they're helpless. They know exactly what's going to happen. They know exactly the carnage and the destruction and most likely death that's going to happen. They're hopeless to do anything about it. They're stuck. They're as good as dead. And that was us. We're stuck. We were actually dead, spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 shows us that before Christ, we had nothing, no hope. But Paul doesn't stay there. This brings me to my second point. The second point is that our spiritual life begins by faith. Now, Pete Coe joined us last week, and if you remember, he took us through four words that kind of define what our salvation is. Let me refresh our memory. We are justified by grace through faith in Jesus. We're justified by grace through faith in Jesus. Let me give you a quick recap of what those mean. We are justified, which means it's just as if I'd never sinned. That was his youth group definition. So God does not count us as guilty anymore, guilty of our sin. And this isn't because of anything that we had done. No, we're spiritually dead. There's nothing we could do even if we tried. There's nothing we can do. So it was instead a gift given to us. It was grace. We're justified by grace, by this free gift. And the way we partake in that free gift, the way we take hold of that gift and accept it as ourselves is through faith, through trusting the Savior. That's what faith is. It's trusting. We trust in God for our salvation. And finally, that is accomplished through what Jesus did when he died and rose again, which we spoke about only a few weeks ago at Easter. So we're justified by grace through faith in Jesus. They're the four things. We're going to focus on the faith aspect of that today. And last week, Pete showed us this is what our salvation is like. And this week we're going, well, how do we take part of that? And that's really what faith is. How do we take part in that salvation? And these two are really foundational, almost cornerstones of our foundations. So as we move through the rest of the series, we'll be building along the lines of these two things. So we're talking about faith, which is trust. Come with me to Ephesians 2, verse 8. Skip down towards the end. Paul writes, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God." First memory verse I ever learned. I went to a Christian primary school, people. And in our like morning assemblies, the teacher's like, we're gonna do some memory verses. And that was the first one I ever memorized. There was a few more before that, but I didn't nail them. I got this one down. I love these verses. They're so wonderful. Let's pick them apart because there's some familiar words that we were just talking about in there. Paul says, it is by grace you have been saved. Remember, a free gift. It was undeserved, not on the basis of anything we've done, and we accept that gift through faith. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. We trust in God who's done God for our salvation. It's not from ourselves. We didn't do it. We had nothing to contribute to it. It was a gift. It's not something we've worked towards to achieve, so that's why we can't boast about it. We haven't done anything. It'd be silly for us to boast about something we haven't done. We trust someone else for our salvation. Again, I'm just going to lean on Pete's illustration from last week because it was so helpful, wasn't it? When he was caught in the rip and he was drowning and he needed someone to rescue him and the surfers came up, what did they say to him when he grabbed onto their surfboard? They said, hold on, but don't try to swim. Hold on, don't try to swim, because if you try to swim, you're just going to wear yourself out and you're going to drown. We're going to do the work. We will swim you back to shore. Just hold on. Just trust us. That's what we're talking about. Trusting God completely, not doing anything ourselves, trusting in His salvation. And it makes sense that we can't do anything ourselves, because remember, we're spiritually dead. We need someone else to do it for us. We were as dead as those dry bones in Ezekiel. Yet God makes us alive. That's what that passage in Ezekiel's about. People who are dead that God has made alive again. We've been made alive, not because of anything we've done. We just trusted the one who did it. We just trusted our Savior. And that's the basics of Christianity, isn't it? God saves, we trust. God saves, we trust. Remember my short drum career? I didn't want to stick with the basics. I didn't want to master them. Well, these basics we absolutely have to master. We have to believe these in our mind. We have to know them in our heart. We have to be so captured by these things. Otherwise, there is no salvation for us. You know, if you build off a dodgy foundation, the whole building can collapse. Or it can be leaning over funky like the Tower of Pisa. We need this foundation solid, firm, down pat. Because anything we build off a dodgy foundation will just collapse. So we have to nail this. And so if you're here with us and you're exploring Jesus, we're so glad you're here. I'm thankful to have anyone here who's checking out Jesus for the first time or coming back or whatever it is. I'm glad you're here. I want to speak to you for a moment. If you're exploring Jesus, then today is a great day to come because we're just talking about the basics. This is just the very thing at the heart of Christianity. You have a choice to make. Will I choose to trust Jesus as my Savior or not? Will I choose to trust that He's done it all for me, or will I try to work my way there? Do I feel like I can be good enough for God, or do I recognize that I'm dead and I need a Savior? That's the choice in front of you today. Choose to trust in Jesus because He does it all. But let's keep moving on. So we've seen without Jesus we were dead. But we come to life trusting. Trusting is the start of our Christian life. Faith is the beginnings of it. So that's the basics. Where do we move on to? Do we move on? What's the path of progress from this point? Yes, we'll grow in our knowledge and we'll grow in our godliness, we'll grow in our love. But what about in terms of our salvation? How do we grow in our salvation? Can we grow in our salvation? That's a big question we asked at the start. What's the path of progress for faith? Well, my third point is this. There is none. We never move on from faith. We never depart from it. There's no extra step to faith. We always stay at faith. Some people will talk about a special second baptism that you need to have. Or some people talk about a certain spiritual gift that you need to receive and exercise. Some people say you need to serve. Otherwise, one of those things is what the Bible says. The Bible just says the way you started continue. Let me show you. If you have your Bibles, flick over a couple pages to Colossians chapter 2. Just two pages to the right in my Bible. It shouldn't be too far for you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, again, this is a letter of Paul. He's writing to another church, the church in Colossae. And he says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. He's saying, just as. The first thing I'm about to say, you need to do the second thing the same way, right? The first thing, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, do it the same way to continue to live in him. Just as you received Christ, just as you put your faith in him and trust in him to save you, just as you called on him as your Lord and Savior, do that exact same thing as you continue to live. Trust in him. Live with him as and Savior. We continue to live our lives as Christians by faith, by trusting. We don't go on from there. In fact, if we ever tried to progress from faith, if we said, yes, now you have faith, but now you need to whatever, lose our salvation altogether. Two verses down, chapter 2, verse 8. Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." You see, the temptation of the Christians in the Colossian church was to move on to this human tradition or this spiritual thing. Yes, now you've got faith, now you need to follow these traditions, eat these certain foods, keep these certain holidays, fast, whatever it is, do these things. You believe now, do these things, otherwise you're not saved. Or it's, you have this spiritual experience, this spiritual gift, this baptism, whatever it is. There's actually, those things mean they've departed from Jesus. They've departed from the salvation that he hollow and deceptive mist, because they pull people away from salvation to nothing. They pull people away to death. The problem is, if you trust anything besides Jesus for your salvation, you haven't trusted Jesus at all. Even if you're like, yeah, I 99% trust Jesus, but I 1% trust the fact that I fasted. You haven't trusted Jesus. You've trusted your fasting. It contributed to my salvation. But that's wrong. That's completely wrong. That's not how the Bible talks about it. That's not how Jesus talks about it. That's not how Paul talks about it. We simply trust in Jesus. Anything we add to that is to depart from Jesus. Whatever it is, only Jesus can save. We are dead. We are dead without Jesus. What could we contribute? We've been made alive by Jesus. What more could we want? We were dead alive. There's no more being alive. We've been made alive. Haven't trusted Jesus. Let me give you an example by way. This is a picture of Charles Blondin. It's a bit. He's on a tightrope down here, and he's got that really big long back. Is Niagara Falls, or kind of the 1850. Tightrope walking across Niagara Falls, right? Pretty amazing stuff. The first time he did it, they estimate there was over 100,000 people watching. Probably go watch that. That's pretty impressive. But he did it a number of times. In fact, he did it so much over the next few months, kind of upping the ante. So he added variations to it, right? He did it blindfolded. Imagine that. If I was blindfolded, I'd be like, where's the end? This thing just keeps stretching out in front of me. Where's the end? Where's the end? He did it with a wheelbarrow. It's pretty impressive. As impressive as he stopped mid and cooked an omelette one time. Just, you know, a little bit hungry while dangling overnight. But he kept upping the ante and upping it and upping it, making it more crazy, more dangerous. Until at one point he's like, hey, my manager, his name was Harry Colcord, he said, Harry, hop up on my back. I'll give you a piggyback. I'm going to walk across this tightrope with you on my back. Up to that point, a wheelbarrow doesn't move on its own. An omelette doesn't really move on its own. Blindfolded, he still knows what he's doing. It's like memory. But now he has someone on his back. So it's significantly more dangerous. If Harry moves the wrong way, they'll both fall to their death. And so Charles, he prepares Harry and he says this to him. He says, look up, Harry. You are no longer Colcord. You are Blondin. Be part of me, mind, body, and soul. If I sway, sway with me. Do not attempt to do any balancing yourself. If you do, we will both go to our death. Charles is saying, you have to completely trust me. Completely trust me. The moment you take over one little bit to balance, that's the moment we both fall to our death. Completely trust me. Don't add anything. I've got this. And he made it across and actually did a few times moving forward. But that's what Christian life is, isn't it? That's what Christian life is. That we completely trust Jesus. The moment we add anything, the moment we do any balancing ourselves, the moment we try and contribute anything to our salvation, is the moment we've trusted ourselves and not Jesus, and we've lost it all. We don't ever move on from faith. We don't ever add to our faith. There's no path of progress in trusting Jesus. There's no path of progress in our salvation other than trust. Christian life begins by faith. It continues by faith. It never departs from faith. And so this means two big things for us. Two big things. First, it means we need to be really discerning. There's lots of people out there that would want you to add to faith. There's lots of people out there that teach, yes, now you have faith, now you have to add. And we need to know the gospel so thoroughly that we can just sniff that out a mile away so that we don't get sucked into it. We need to know the gospel so deeply well that the moment someone says, now you trust in Jesus, but have you been, have you done? We straight away know there's something wrong with that. There's something up. We need to recognize anything where it's the gospel plus. So we need to know the gospel so well. What is the gospel? What's in it? What's outside of it? And so to do that is thing number two. How are we going to know the gospel so thoroughly so that we can be discerning? Well, it's to saturate ourselves in it. To be people who love coming to God and hearing Him tell us His gospel in His word. To keep coming back to the basics, which is why this series is so important. It's why Hans and I decided to do it. We've got to keep coming back to the gospel, keep coming back to the basics. We've got to never get sick and tired of it. We've got to never be like me who didn't want to practice his drums because it was the basics. No, we have to stick with it, come back to it over and over and over again. And yes, we'll grow in knowledge, we'll grow in godliness, and we'll grow in love, and we'll grow, but we keep coming back to the gospel. We keep coming back to it and going, have I got it right? Is my understanding of the gospel correct? Or let me just remind myself of how good it is. We keep coming back to the gospel over and over. Foundation, we need to master it, which means we constantly come to it. Let me finish. Before we met Jesus, we were dead, spiritually dead. Not a metaphor, a reality. We were dead. Nothing we could do to get out of it. Jesus comes along and offers us life as a gift. And he just says, trust me. Just trust me. And that's how we're saved. And we never move on from trusting in Jesus. And the moment we do, we lose our salvation. Christian life begins by faith, continues by faith, never departs from faith. That's our path of progress. It's just to stand where you are, trusting in Jesus. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for your grace to us. That while we were dead in our sins and trespasses, you sent your Son Jesus. While we were your enemies, he came and rescued us when we couldn't. Father, help each one of us here to trust and nothing more, to add nothing to that. to so thoroughly know the gospel that we'll be able to recognize any time someone wants us to add to that. Help us to stand firm in our faith, trusting every day of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.